May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 574. What a precious, needful thing is the Lord and Saviour. Zion shall his mercy sing, now, henceforth, and ever. In him a rich fullness dwells, and is freely given. Law and conscience Jesus quells, crooked things makes even. Hymn 574.
Let us read together for our instruction from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 3 and a part of chapter 5. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 3, and reading the first 21 verses of chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he should grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We will now continue in chapter 5. Chapter 5. From the beginning, I'll read into the end of verse 21. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness, all covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There we will leave the reading. May the Lord bless us and help us in prayer. Merciful and gracious God, we come unto thee at this evening time, and as it is toward evening, abide with us, we pray. Oh, to feel thy drawing near, and that there were not only draw near to us, but when we are done with the day, that there would still abide and go with us in all the ways that we may take, if they be ways which do not bring dishonour upon thy name. For we would honour thee in all our ways. We would acknowledge thee, the one who alone can keep us in thy fear, we pray. Preserve us, Lord, from the many drawings of the world, and being caught away with their spirit. Grant us, Lord, much of that spirit which is to be viewed in Christ. Lord, deliver us out of temptations. How many are the subtleties of Satan which would sooner lure us into doing that which is grieving to thy spirit? And we are exhorted to grieve not the spirit of promise. Oh, may we know, Lord, the sweetness of the promise which thou hast spoken, and that we might believe and continue steadfast in the faith. But, Lord, if we are left, we know we have fickle hearts. We realize that we are so easily drawn aside. If therefore we should fall, could it please thee to lift us up? If we are liable to slip, then hold us up. If thou dost see, O Lord, that we are weak, then strengthen our feeble knees. If our hands are ready to hang down, rather than be lifted up to thee, then may they be held up. Held up, Lord, by the prayers of one and another. Held up through the word, which we may seek to read from time to time. Indeed, Lord, may we be ever seeking and searching the scripture, that we may have an understanding of it and find its strengthening power. If it is our spiritual food, as food strengthens the body, so the word may strengthen our soul. And Lord, we do pray that we may see not so much the strength of ourselves, but the strength that we have out of weakness. For when, as the apostle says, when I was weak, then was I strong. Strong in the dependence upon the God who is ever at hand. The God who is a refuge and a strength and a very present help in the day of our trouble. Strengthen therefore the weak hands and support the feeble knees. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies unto thy people at this time. The difficulties that are faced and have been faced, and yet thou hast made provision, and we would thank thee for it. We desire that we may rightly use it and not abuse it. We do, Lord, also desire to commend one and another to thee, of the churches, one's own people, as they have met this day. The services are ended for them as far as gathering is concerned. Some may be listening elsewhere through the means. Lord, we would pray that they may be established and strengthened through the word. We do, Lord, pray for those that are gathering, even at this time, and we seek that help may be given to hearers and to the preachers, thy servants alike. And Lord, where thy servants are sent, or whether it be actually or virtually, may the word go forth with power, in much assurance, and in the Holy Ghost. Lord, we do desire that the time may hasten when we will be able to return to thy courts in the manner that we have previously known. We, O Lord, are somewhat conscious of the lack that is experienced. Not being able to sing the hymns as it is in many places, though some may venture to do so. Being able to gather in the manner that we would for prayer. Lord, there are many things that do try us, but thou, O Lord, art still over all. And therefore, though deprived of coming actually together in certain places, We would thank thee that our friends at Swavesey have been able to gather, despite the fact that the minister is not in the midst. We would indeed feel, to be a privation, but nonetheless, we would bow to thee in it all. We are thankful, however, we can still minister to them, and may it be made a blessing. We would pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant thy mercies to them as a people. Thou hast blessed, there has been those that have been constrained to bear testimony of thy dealings. We pray that they may continue long in the faith and be kept. Those, Lord, that may come and go and have done over many years, and yet, Lord, they have not as yet felt able to testify to thy dealings and to unite with the church, the outward or seen body of Christ. Lord, we do know that the body of Christ is not just a visible. There are those that are not seen. There are those that have already passed from this time seen into eternity. And yet, we may come and gather, knowing that they are gathered in heaven itself. Our Sabbath is but short, and one day in the course of a week, and a weeknight or so, but theirs is an eternal Sabbath. Lord, may we therefore look with anticipation to that time when our Sabbaths will not break up and have not an end, but we shall ever praise thee. Lord, we pray that even in the course of our labours, those things that may occupy us during the course of the week, we may find that often there is the upward glancing of the eye when none but thou art near. And particularly in the time of trouble, may there be a calling upon the Lord and a proving that thou dost hear and answer us. We do, Lord, pray that there will be, look upon Zion at large. Lord, there are those that we know nothing of. To know them in person. And yet, how many are there to be found at the throne of grace, seeking that they might know the blessing of the Lord? But there are those that we are associated with in other parts of the earth. And we would commend unto thee the American and the Canadian church and all our churches, and also those in Australia. And they have passed through their difficulties. We do pray, Lord, that they may be helped. We would thank thee, O Lord, where there is that bearing one another up to thee in the difficulties that each may have. And Lord, thou knowest our concern for our brethren in the United States, with regard to all that has gone on in their country and what they may think we do not know. But, Lord, what anxious time it must be. Lord, may it be that thou dost rule and overrule, and that thy people there may know the continuing of their liberties and know the blessing of being able to gather without hindrance. But we ourselves, we would remember, O Lord, those in Scotland, though not united to us denominationally, yet they are not able to gather in any way as far as actual gathering is concerned. They have been prevented as we were earlier last year. But now, Lord, we have been favoured to have this liberty still, that as the opportunity may arise, we can gather in thy courts. So, Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember those who are at this time deprived of these things. We would commend unto thee those in sickness. Put forth thy healing hand if it could please thee. Those that are coming down to their last days, prepare them, we pray, for that hour and article of death, and may they be able to look beyond with a good hope through grace. We would also pray that thou wilt be mindful of our young. Do, Lord, bless them in their youth. May some good thing be found in their heart toward the Lord God. Do bless the labours of the Sabbath school teachers. And we do desire, Lord, that what has been done this afternoon may not be easily forgotten, and that the children may remember, or it be brought to their remembrance in future days, of that which they have heard. Lord, we also pray that they may have been able to even receive or gather something from the actual services of thine house. We do, Lord, pray that there would be with those that bear the burdens and the heat of the day. Oh, Lord, do give much wisdom and discernment in these days, these evil days. Now, Lord, what shall we more say? We could indeed bring much to thee, but thou knowest, Lord, our own inability. Thou knowest, Lord, that time does not permit. And yet, Lord, thou canst give above what we may ever ask. And we have proved, we believe, that where we have failed, thou hast been pleased to give. Failed in asking, yet thou hast given out of the fullness of thy mercy, knowing our needs. Now pardon us, we pray, of every sin and all that we've uttered amiss, and send help now, thank you. Thou mayest speak to us, mouth matter and wisdom, and also to grant the hearing ear to every ear that hears. So we ask these things in the worthy name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 1104. Convinced as a sinner, to Jesus I come, informed by the gospel, for such there is room. O'erwhelmed with sorrow for sin, will I cry, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hymn number 1104.
May be pleased to help me. I would again direct your attention to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 12, and read in the first two verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 12, and the first and second verses, but particularly the part in the second verse that reads, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That which is acceptable unto God. It is our mercy that he has made it known and gives us a true realization of what his will is. The will of God is that he may bring those many sons through the work of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and also of the Holy Spirit, may bring them unto himself. This is the will of God, which is displayed in his mercy. And there is not one of those who were chosen in Christ that can be left out. He will bring them with a calling, a holy calling, a calling which will be effectual in the souls of the people whom he calls. Their calling that is effectual is to be distinguished from what our Lord speaks when he says, many are called, but few are chosen. The few that are chosen will be effectually called. But there are those that may be called to a certain position, even in the churches. And yet, as Saul was raised up to be king in Israel, yet, solemnly, he was not one chosen as David. And we may cite other examples where there is the calling, very, very solemn. Judas was called to be a disciple, and yet we know what was the outcome. He betrayed his God, his Lord and Saviour. And I say, and Saviour, was he Judas's Saviour? Solemnly not. But nonetheless, there he was, as one called seemingly to be numbered amongst the disciples. And yet, he proved not to be a true disciple. We may be greatly searched on these things. The apostle himself was, when he said that he would not be as one who had run and then not attained, as one who was a castaway. But if the apostle who had the abundance of revelation should be thus tried, then we may take heart that the Lord is able to grant us the evidences that we are as those effectually called and therefore chosen of God to be amongst the ones that will gather around the throne in heaven. The will of the Lord will therefore be towards every one of those that are chosen in Christ. What a blessing that is. Then we consider how that it is the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, great work to present his bride as faultless to his Father, that they may be accepted. Accepted. And this is the will of God. The apostle, he labored in this way, that he may also, through his ministry, and through seeing the fruits of that ministry, for this is what a servant of God desires to see. He desires to see the fruit of that ministry. And not only in that there are those who are are wrought upon and constrained to pass through the ordinance of baptism, though in so doing it will be proved if you are rightly enter into that ordinance, the answer of a good conscience toward God. It will then be a blessing, and you will experience the privileges of being united in that particular way. We know that baptism of itself is not saving, but those that are saved will be regarded under that baptism to be a follower of Christ. Solemnly, not all that are baptized are true followers of Christ, and some they return to their old sad state, and like the sail that is washed turns to its wallowing in the mire. What a mercy it is if we are kept. Oh, if we are kept. The apostle therefore said to those Corinthians, and you will know how there were difficulties in the Corinthian church, those that were partial and sought after one or another in preference to others. There were those that were guilty of adultery and idolatry, those that made much or overmuch, should we say, by indulging in eating when the Lord's Supper was to be in all its simplicity and the table to be preserved from such carnal fleshly fellowship, should I call it? We spoke of fellowship this morning. You know, a fellowship, that if we have fellowship with Christ, we cannot then have fellowship with the world. Though we have to do with the world, though we will have to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing, that God may be a father to us, and we to be his children. But the apostle in writing to these Corinthians says, would to God ye would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Paul had that apostolic gift whereby he was given that to that grace whereby he may convey to the people the virtue and the effects of his ministry. He had no power in himself to espouse the Corinthian people to Christ. Christ himself will have his bride. But there is a sense in which the servants of God, through the ministry, may desire that there should be the bringing of such who are cleansed through the word, sanctified through the word. And therefore, to be found as chaste, that is, to be seen in their purity, and not that we stand pure naturally, but in the grace of God, we shall stand pure. I say shall because that new nature cannot sin. That new nature will not be a new nature, but if it did, and certainly the old nature does not improve itself so that it can then be acceptable. That old nature must be brought under. That old nature must be suppressed. That old nature must be killed to any hope it may have of being able to have a place and sit in opposition to God. Where there is still the strength of the old nature, then there is still much to be done, that we may be presented as a chaste bride unto the glorious husband. Now, it is the Spirit, through the word, the preached word, that may sanctify and be of a separated nature.
Friends, while we're waiting for a connection to be established again, if the Lord will, let us now have hymn number 328. Afflicted saint, to Christ draw near, thy Saviour's gracious promise hear. His faithful word declares to thee that as thy days, thy strength shall be. Hymn 328. O Lord, thou seest the distress that we are in. We ask that it might be thy good pleasure that thy servant may yet be enabled to speak to us. Lord, thou canst do it. There is nothing impossible with thee. We have our eyes up unto thee. Hear, Lord, in heaven thy dwelling place. Hearken and do. For the glory of thy holy name we pray. We fall into thy hands. Lord, we do not deserve anything good at thy hand. But, Lord, we plead for mercy, that thou wilt receive us in thy dear Son, and for his sake remember our souls for good, and come and bless us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. John, will you pray, please? And if we can't reconnect, then we'll close the service.
I'm now back in the meeting. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Gilbert.
Right. I don't know where I lost you, so we just need the Lord to help us in continuing with our thoughts. May the Lord unite the matter together. Continuing then with the thoughts that come from this word, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We were speaking of the apostle's desire, how that he was jealous for the Corinthian church, and how that he desired to present the Corinthian church as a chaste bride unto Christ. And if the apostle desired that, being one of the Lord's servants, and particularly to the Gentiles, who were steeped in their sin and had been so, but now are delivered and brought to a knowledge of the grace of God, yet they needed that sanctifying work to be accomplished. And the apostle desired that that may be seen, so that the will of the Lord may be done. And that this may be proved, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God wrought in them. And he needed to see the evidences of it through his ministry. Christ himself does present his own bride unto the Father as faultless. And this is the purpose, the great purpose, that was in the mind of the eternal Trinity. And that according to the covenant ordered in all things and sure, there should not be one that was left behind. But, oh, there is that sanctifying work. And it is the Lord's purpose that we should be sanctified. It is the Spirit that sanctifies. And it is the Word that sanctifies. That which will declare where we need to be separated, to be purified, and that we may see that through that word, with its reproofs, oh, how we need reproving. If we should make one step to the right or to the left, then to hear the reproof of our God. We read in that prophecy of Isaiah how that the Lord would cause his people to drink of the waters of affliction and to eat the bread of adversity. All to bring about that willingness in them to follow Christ. Now, we find that these words were written, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. And then we read on a little further. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is the way, the gospel way, the way that will lead us away from the love of sinning. We may be under the law, but the law will not kill the love of sinning. But the gospel, as it may be preached in all its fullness, will bring a poor sinner to loathe himself, but to love the things of Christ. And when that love is made over in the soul, then how we are brought to follow, to crave, to seek after him. It is that love of Christ that constrains us. Oh, that is the fullness seen in the will of God. He who loved us first would have us love him. And we love him because he first loved us. So different it is, this being brought to the point where the will of God is known, and rejoiced in, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God, therefore, is that we're not conformed to this world, but may be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now that mind, the soul which finds it has been dominated for a long time by the adversary, or maybe a long time with some of you, and there you have been under the influence and power of Satan. But then when Emmanuel comes, when the blessed Lord reveals himself, he comes that he may bind the old inhabitant, and that inhabitant may not have then dominion or power over us, not ultimately. We will find that it is such an inhabitant that kicks, and therefore we will often feel its effects, sin still dwelling in us. But Christ will have the mastery. Christ will overcome in us as he has overcome for his church. He bears the crown, the victory, and we through him may prove to be more than conquerors. Now this is the will of God, that we should be more than conquerors, and therefore be found as such that overcome through the blood of the Lamb. The apostle in the opening verse, which we have not really touched on, says this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. There is much that must be laid aside, offered up, as it were, that which must be removed from us. The walking in the path is one of sacrifice. He who sacrificed himself would also have us to sacrifice those things which are not, to use the apostles' words, convenient. They're not for our edification. They're not for our blessing. Rather, they corrupt. They corrupt good manners. They will be a hindrance. They will cause us much sorrow. They will prevent us from making that progress, in a sense, like the one that runs the race, with all the weights and all that may hold him back. They must be cast off. And we need the grace of the Spirit to bring us to that willingness to cast all such aside, all to be removed. So what does the apostle say in writing to those Hebrews? Wherefore, seeing we have so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, laying aside every weight. I missed out that part. When laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. In this we can only know through the prayer and the fasting. That does not mean we abstain from natural food necessarily, but rather our fasting may be that we do not and are not distracted by those things which will only turn us aside. We may find that there are many things that are not expedient. They may be lawful, but not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. If there is therefore something which may be a temptation, flee from it, friend. Turn from it. Do not try your own spirit in it. The Lord must be your strength. Therefore, to look to him. Oh, for grace to look to him. Well, then, prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It comes to mind, you doubtless have heard the account, William Romaine, one who I think lived in the 18th century, who was a contemporary with men like George Whitfield and such. He was once in company and they wished to have a game of cards. And Romaine, he said to them, he said, before we begin, let us ask the Lord's blessing. Well, you may imagine their response. They laughed him to scorn. They said, you can't do that. Well, he said, I cannot then enter into your game. And you know, dear friends, we need to often consider that. What you cannot ask the Lord's blessing upon, do not do. But rather, may you seek to be contented with that which you know will not bring dishonor upon the name of Christ. To be contented with that which may nourish your soul, even though it may be, as it were, plain food. You know, what does a living soul seek after? A crumb of mercy. Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed. With dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. Yes, satisfied with that. Another example I have is this. A young girl in university was living in the halls of residence. The Lord had just newly, as it were, brought her to a knowledge of himself. And she felt very lonely in her room. And she was tempted to go and join the others in the sitting room. And so she went to do so. Before she got to that sitting room, those words dropped in, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing." She returned immediately to her room, and there she had a time of communion with her Lord and Saviour. Oh, the things that flesh may have wanted, she was brought to enjoy the things of God. Well, we cannot live, as it were, in that frame. We find that are those things that are demanded of this life. But, even in the midst of our busy lives, to find that there are times when the Lord may graciously come for perhaps a moment and just lift our thoughts above. Lord, raise my thoughts above the ground and draw my soul to thee. Teach me with sweet and solemn sound to praise the eternal three. That, dear friends, is the will of God. Well, prove, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that when you come to this, that ye may present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You may have to forego the things which your flesh would hanker after, but you will never, never be disappointed with the fact that there is something far better that will satisfy your longing and never dying soul. Well, dear friends, we feel that we've come to the end of ourselves, not to the end of the truth, or what is written here. Yeah. But I can only hope that despite the break that was between, that you have not been overly affected by that. But what we're trying to put forth, you can think upon. Where we have failed, forgive. Dear friends, if you desire and turn this into a prayer, oh, may I prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, you will then be rewarded. You will find that to know what his will is will far excel whatever your whim and fancy may be. Do know this, that to fulfill the lusts of the flesh will be damnation, but to know the mind of the Spirit will bring salvation. So again, we would read this these two verses and close. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen.
God. God willing, Mr. Graham Hadley will preach on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day, there'll be a prayer meeting at 9 o'clock. And Mr. Michael Ridout is expected to preach at the usual times. Let us close with hymn 704. Lord, we lie before thy feet. Look on all our deep distress. Thy rich mercy may we meet. Clothe us with thy righteousness. Stretch forth thy almighty hand. Hold us up, and we shall stand. Hymn 704.
now, dear Lord, thou knowest all things. We do desire that that which has been spoken may be washed by the Spirit himself, and that the word may come to the hearts of the people, and that they may have something to take home despite the interruption. Pardon, Lord, anything that has been amiss in thy sight. We ask it for Christ's sake. May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen. Dear friends, one feels not that we've not been able to meet with you, which would have been our desire. But we do send a warm Christian affection to you each, and desire that the Lord may bless you during the course of this year that we have now entered. May the Lord pardon any imperfection that he sees and draw us unto himself. So I say farewell unto you all. Amen.